My name is Stephanie Craig-Rushing, and I am located at the Northwest Portland Area Indian Health Board. I am the director of Project Red Talon, which is the STD HIV prevention project that serves the 43 federally recognized tribes in Oregon, Washington, and Idaho. And it's a nonprofit tribal organization that is run by the tribe, so each tribe has a delegate who sits on our board of directors and oversees the work that we do, mostly health promotion and disease prevention, surveillance activities. We have a tribal epidemiology center and policy advocacy at a local and national level. So this is the region that I serve, much smaller than Alaska. But also a wide variety and diversity of tribes, urban and rural locations, and different traditional backgrounds, coastal tribes, plains tribes. Well, not plains, but plateau tribes. So I'm going to share with you kind of a hodgepodge of the activities that we've done over the years to reach Native youth in our region. We started about 5 years ago. We've had an STD HIV prevention project at the health board for over 20 years. It's the longest funded project at our health board. But over the last 5 years, we've really been focusing on community education and outreach and capacity building around STD HIV prevention. And this is the process that we went through when we began working with our communities around STD HIV issues. We formed a coalition at the directive of the tribes. We have a really strong cancer coalition in our region that has been around for a while. And so when Project Red Talon reformed, the tribes asked that we form an STD HIV coalition similar to our cancer coalition. So this group has been meeting quarterly for the last 5 years, and this is the steps that we went through in designing an action plan to take us into this process. So part of that was looking both at our data, our STD HIV rates in our region, and also looking at how ready our community is to talk about these issues. There's a lot of stigma and challenge addressing these topics around sexual health and STDs and relationships and healthy relationships. So we use the community readiness model that has come out of our colleagues at Colorado, the Tri-Ethnic Center, now CASE, and it's an assessment tool that can be used for any public health topic, and really grew out of Indian Country. It's a planning tool, public health planning tool that came out of tribal communities. So it looks at, there's these 9 stages of readiness around these 6 different issues, so community efforts and climate and leadership. So we went through this planning process in designing our objectives for Project Red Talon. So increasing capacity, increasing community awareness, improve representation on tribal planning groups and state and national STD HIV planning groups, and improve testing and treatment in our clinical settings. So this is our action plan, and it's interesting, particularly with the session this morning, that our coalition has long talked about sexual health, and it's embedded in our action plan, and it's really exciting to see that start to come up in the public discourse as well, and I think will support the work that we're doing moving forward. So I'm going to share with you some of the educational materials that we've developed for youth over the years. We started back with brochures. When we first started, there were so few Native-specific educational materials around STDs and HIV topics. So we started with the basics, brochures. These are our snag bags, which are very popular at health fairs. We started developing fact sheets for youth, young people. So this is our Ben Laid Get Tested fact sheet. We're always updating them based on new issues. So sexting, of course, is a topic of interest right now. So we're developing new fact sheets on those sorts of issues as well. We worked with the CDC to develop the new HPV materials that are native specific, conducting a bunch of focus groups in our region to help design and tailor those educational materials. And those, I have the slides available if folks are interested, and so I just added the links on so that folks could get to those easily. And then this is another tool that we've used. It wasn't developed by us, but it is a wonderful resource for communities wanting to talk about sex education at various age levels. So there's no place like home for sex education, and this is the native adaptation of this curriculum. And if you go up here to the, it says child's age and grade, you can just click on that, and depending on the age, it's broken down from like 4 or 5 years old all the way up to 12th grade students. So it'll give kind of age-appropriate content and discussion points, things that young people might be interested in, have questions about, and how parents might want to respond to those questions. And it's available. I put the link on there as well, online. We also have hard copies if you're interested in it. Another activity that we've been doing with young people in our region, and we were actually trained by the Indigenous Peoples Task Force for this activity, but we've been hosting safer snaggin' parties with young men and young women. So we bring a group of young women or young men together, and it's kind of like, we call it like a Tupperware party, where you get the kids together, and rather than selling Tupperware, we talk to them about sexual health issues and give them a little party kit so that they can go home and host a party with their family and friends. We know that young people are most comfortable talking to their peers around sexual health topics, and so by providing young people with that information and the tools to have those conversations, we send them home with everything they need to host their own party and invite people, and little gifts for folks who come to their party, and then ask them to talk about all of these important sexual health topics with folks that they feel comfortable with. So we also have been working on a variety of social marketing campaigns, and much like Alaska, this is kind of the process that we've gone through to do that, looking at our communities and norms and readiness around different topics, developing marketing strategies, and all of these are done by our coalition, so with strong input, community input, as to what sort of products they want to see made and where they should be placed, and we really rely on our tribal health educators to place those. We don't have the funds to hire big wig media advertising folks. So we work with designers to create the products, but then the health educators themselves disseminate them, and then we attempt to evaluate where we can. So our first campaign was Stop the Silence, and that started in 2005-ish. It was an 18-month process of developing these materials. So our coalition came up with the Stop the Silence campaign as one of those sorts of topics, much like today, that thinking about how we can get the community to talk about sexual health, not just between parent and child, but also between peers, as a tribe as a whole, and communities. So these are some of the materials that we developed targeting youth, and there's a series of 6 issues, so 3 for 6th through 8th graders and 3 for 9th through 12th graders, and there are age-appropriate content, and there's a teacher's guide that you can download as well so that you can use these in the classroom. And they're fun and interactive, and there's little quizzes and games and whatnot in each issue. These are some of the public service announcements that came along with that campaign, and a tip sheet for parents on how to talk to their kids about sex and STDs. And we at the time came up with a website too. Of course, this is 2005 and now 2010, and technologies have changed, and it's really sad that that's super out of date now and no longer cool and hip, but it once was. So we're looking at ways to come up with new updating our website. The next campaign that we worked on was the Native Tested Proud campaign, and we're really worked with a group of national partners around this campaign wanting to normalize testing. So we came up with, these are little cards that you can pass out. We created window clings, two radio public service announcements, normalizing routine testing, condoms, flyers, t-shirts. Here's the t-shirts on the flyers. And the Weber banner ads, web banner ads. So all of these materials are available for download. And actually, most of these materials are available in print right now, so we can send you these actual materials because National Native HIV Awareness Day is March 20th. So we did a huge print up of these materials and talked to Lisa, my colleague, my counterpart, other half of Project Red Talon, if you'd like us to send you any of these print materials. We're also, we got a bunch of jump drives, so we can download all of the materials onto jump drives to send to folks too. So we're excited about that. So another strategy that we've used to reach young people are STD HIV screening events. And like Lori was mentioning, we've been doing screening events for maybe like the last 3 years. It took a year or two to really get community interest and buy-in around this topic. We talked about it for a long time before anyone really took up the issue. Like Lori said, it's a complicated process and it takes a long time for people to, you know, feel comfortable having those conversations, and it's a big thing to undertake as a health educator in a small community. So we're really excited to see that we've kind of hit that tipping point in our region, that people more and more are asking to host screening events. So we've done them in school settings, at health fairs. We had a chlamydia screening barbecue, which my mother laughs at endlessly, like, she's a teacher. And then we've done screening events in those situations where it was not easy to get into a school, and easier for the clinic to have it on site as opposed to somewhere else in the community. Some clinics weren't able to do off-site screening, so they would just promote a week for youth to come in with special promotions and gift certificates and raffles for prizes for the young people that came in for screening that week. So that's been another strategy. If it's too challenging to get into the school, start having an event just in your own clinic, and then start building out from there. And we developed a bunch of materials around that, working with young people, guiding that campaign development as well. So this is a postcard that clinics or health educators can send out to remind students to come in for their annual STD screening. And this is another poster, and then there are little postcards, and on the back it says, one out of four sexually active teens gets an STD this year. You should be screened annually. Come on in. Just because you don't see it doesn't mean you don't have it. And we had all of these as t-shirts too, so the students who came into the screening event got a t-shirt, and it was a big hit. Everybody wanted screening. And we created posters, so this is a clinic poster. We had a postcard around this one as well, and it, if you don't read that sort of writing, as I don't, it says P2B STD free, as in pee in a cup, and you can be STD free. Some of the kids said it was proud to be, and I guess we can be proud as well. So those are some of the media campaign sort of things that we've done to reach youth. And Jessica and folks up in Alaska, we've also been looking at technology-based interventions, and I think she gives a wonderful lead-in to technology use in Indian country. the latest report on technology use among youth says that they spend over 7 hours. This is 2009 on top there, so it's over 7 hours of technology use per day. And when you account for technology multitasking, so playing on the computer with your iPods in, it's over 11 hours. Crazy. So we too recognize the many benefits that can be achieved using these technologies for public health. The cost effectiveness of reaching our really rural, isolated youth with these technologies. There's wonderful algorithms out there to target and tailor and make materials that really resonate with the young person, either gender tailored or age tailored or by behavior or interest. And young people find them accessible, feasible, ingrained in their daily lives. So before we got started in the Northwest, we too were interested, you know, is this a relevant tool for public health education in our region? We didn't know to what extent at that time Native youth were using these technologies or, you know, whether they were accessible. So we began in 2009 surveying youth in our region around technology use. So I'm going to share with you the results of that survey. I also have copies up here. This is our little report. So if folks are interested, I can give you the results of our survey. But so we surveyed over 400 Native youth in Oregon, Washington, and Idaho between the ages of 13 and 21. And much like the data that we've seen reported in other presentations, technology use was exceptionally high, as Jessica was mentioning, higher than in the general population. Internet availability was very high. This technology use was a little bit higher among females than among males, but still males were engaging in all of these technologies, video games, more so than females. That's the only one that the guys are doing more than the girls. But cell phones were by far the most frequent technology. And so this, you know, shouldn't be a surprising picture to anyone. This is what we see on a daily basis. And we asked them where they access the internet, at home, at school, and surprisingly, a good chunk of them are accessing it on their cell phones. So over a third are using their cell phones for internet access. We asked them about the types of activities that they do online, and they're very similar to what the national data says on social networking sites and YouTube. Yep. We asked them about how much they're text messaging today, and a good majority of them were sending more than 60 messages a day. Females were also texting much more than the young guys, and this is very much in line with the other national rates of sending over 2,000 texts a month. Interestingly, though, young people were most interested in getting sexual health information from a person, even more so than the internet. So this is really going to guide our technology development process. We're in kind of the infancy of this stage. We just got this data this last couple of months. So as we move forward, we're going to be thinking about how we can use technologies to increase communication between people as opposed to just using the technologies alone, really reinforcing this communication piece that young people seem to be interested in. We also asked about their health information seeking, and over 76% of our Northwest Native youth had used the internet to get health information, and this far exceeds other ethnic groups in technology information seeking. So I'm going to go through this very quickly, but we have been talking to our communities. Now we're in the stages of asking our communities to rank these various approaches to develop technologies, informational websites, texting. We've seen a lot of examples at this conference of what is out there and available now, and so we've been asking for input on what our health educators and youth feel are appropriate strategies. And our health educators are really pushing for community or computer or internet-based skill building tools and condoms online and informational websites. And our young people are pretty split. They are interested in videos and texting services and video games, computer games, informational websites. They're interested in everything. And so to reach them, I think moving forward, it really is showing us that it has to be a mix of approaches to reach the greatest number of young people. So these are some of the things that we're looking to embed in our intervention as we move forward. But really, young people said, make it real. Our lives are complicated, and we're influenced by the challenges of poverty and cultural identity and what it is to be a young person. And we want to see all of that reflected in our website. I know sexual health is my first priority, but it's not necessarily young people's first priorities. So developing tools that include sexual health as a one component of overall adolescent health is what we'll be looking at. So that's my contact information, and all of our resources are available for download. Thank you.
Do you guys have any questions?
I went over time, so you may not have time for
Jill,
questions.
Jill, Jill.
I know, like on one of the first slides that you talked about pregnancy prevention, but I didn't really see that in any of your material. And is there a reason for that?
Funding.
Funding?
Yeah. I mean, it's unfortunate, but yeah, it's based on what we have the funding to do.
Okay, but so if they wanted just like education on that, could they still go to your sites and get information on?
Yeah, we have a little bit, but it definitely hasn't been the main focus. We historically have been funded through STDs, and so, yeah.
And on the chlamydia testing, you guys, was that done in the schools on reservations or off?
Both. Yeah.